Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solar top?
Too many things we found. That's the fantastic Jar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Burns. The Solartopia song. Welcome back to another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness show here at PRN.FM. Got Joe Mangano on with us. Joe, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, Harvey. How are you?
I'm good. You're sounding loud and clear. That's good. Do we have Susan Shapiro?
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon.
Hello, cousin. How are you?
Good.
And is Carl Grossman with us? Carl, are you with us? No, I guess not. Do we have another guest? Did anyone else call in? I knew that there was a woman who was going to call in.
Should be Amy Goldsmith.
Do you know if she got the number or she's calling in? Well, if she calls in, Amy, if you call in, or the guys in the studio, let us know if Amy has joined us. But we got two powerhouses with us anyway, Joe and Susan. We're going to talk about nukes in New York. I do want to take a moment to note the passing of a truly magnificent activist, Eris Agnagnos, in Los Angeles. Just a lifelong, wonderful man. An incredible full life, funded lots of stuff in L.A., did just incredible work, and he will certainly be missed. Eris Agnagnos passing on this week, so a shout-out to him. And let's start now. We want to talk about nuclear power for change here on the Solartopia Show, but we want to talk specifically about New York. Now, the mafia guy in the White House, I can't remember his name at the moment, has been taking mafia money since at least the 1980s. His father was a developer in New York City, and a slumlord, and you don't do that without mob involvement. So Donald grew up in that kind of household, and has been well. The story really hasn't been dealt with yet. I mean, all sorts of things, of course, are coming out about Trump. And I'm going to make a prediction right here. I'm going to go way out on a limb. I'm going to bet you, and you guys can all disagree, but I'm going to bet you that on the tapes from Michael Cohen is a discussion of him giving money to help fund an abortion from one of his girlfriends. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to expound. I could be wrong, but that, I have a gut sense about that. And if that's true and if it comes out, it will be a whole new world. But it'll be Helsinki on steroids. But we'll see if that turns out. But we're talking about New York now. There's been a lot of back and forth now about progressives coming into the Democratic Party. And clearly, we have two Democratic parties. One is a corporate Democratic Party, and one is the Social Democrats, led by Bernie Sanders, and now the young woman who won the House seat in New York. And we are clearly headed in a progressive direction. We hope. But one of the major corporate Democrats is running for re-election in governor, and we in New York, re-election as governor in New York. He took money a few years ago from Trump, and now he's taken major money from Entergy and, I assume, Exelon as well. So, and this is all bound up in nuclear power. So I'm not in New York, but, and you guys are as good as it comes. So, Susan, do you want to explain exactly what the situation is with Andrew Cuomo? And then, Joe, you'll jump in. Andrew Cuomo taking money from Trump and then from Exelon and Entergy and what he's done with it with the nuclear power plants in the state, because you are party to a lawsuit, and we want to know more about it. So if you can jump in and set the stage for us, that'd be great.
Sure. I can't tell you actually whether he's taking money from Exelon or Entergy. We've been trying to find out, and we can't seem to. It's not showing in any of the like open secrets or any of that. But what we do know is that that he facilitated a deal, and in doing so, he created a $7.6 billion tax on nuclear on our electric bills in New York State. It's a surcharge that's hidden in our rates in New York State that we're paying every single month. Every electrical payer in New York State is forced to pay this for the next 12 years. To date, Exelon has already received $480 million from us, and people don't even know that they're paying it. It was done as a backroom deal, pretty much. The Public Service Commission ordered it. The Public Service Commission is part of the executive branch. So Governor Cuomo wrote a letter saying, I want you to make sure that the upstate nuclear plants don't close. And it's not a bill, but in a action called the Clean Energy Standard, which a lot of environmentalists worked really hard on to really support renewables and a transition to a clean energy future in New York. And it was for renewables. It was for solar, wind, geothermal, you know, all the clean kinds of energy that we have available here, which we have ample availability, and for efficiency. And what happened was at the last minute, and this went on for a long time, this process. It's been going on for a couple of years. And then at the last minute, he wrote this letter, and they stuck in the nuclear tier. They call it Tier 3. And Tier 3 then morphed. What they did was they held lots of public hearings all over the state talking about how they were going to only use nuclear until we can transition, until we have enough renewables online and we can transition away from nuclear. And then the last month before the order was adopted, the Public Service Commission changed it and made it. It was mandatory for 12 years. There's no way it will ever stop. And the number that they didn't include the number in the proposal, but when you calculate it out, it's $7.6 billion. And then they ordered it. And they did not allow the public time to comment. They did not give the public time to even understand what was going on. It was a very complicated, mathematically complicated and complicated structure that they created based on a new concept called the social cost of carbon. And based on this false claim, which is a big part of our lawsuit, that nuclear is zero emissions. And that's really where, you know, the problem lays. Is nuclear, as we all know, probably everybody who's listening to this knows, nuclear is far from zero emissions. And Joe can talk more about the health impacts of that every day. But nuclear, in terms of climate change, is not a solution. Nuclear is not zero emissions for climate change. It not only releases radiation every day, but it also releases greenhouse gas emissions, both water vapor, which that's released every day, as well as carbon-14 and other greenhouse gases that are very effective climate changers. And it also superheats water around nuclear plants and puts direct heat into the atmosphere. So those are the emissions, and to call nuclear zero emissions is really a fraud on the public. And anyway, they based the entire $7.6 billion subsidy on this fraud. And now other states – now this is a big push for all the nuclear industry, because other states now, since New York adopted this, other states jumped on the bandwagon, and now we have Illinois that has a bill, and New Jersey is considering one, and – it's happening all over the country and all over the world. They're using this PR that nuclear is good for you, that it has environmental attributes. That's the new PR campaign. So that's what we're really concerned about, is that they're getting away with this, basically, and people are buying it.
Susan Shapiro, you are in Westchester County. You're downwind from Indian Point. Is there, when you get your, and Joe, you also pay bills in New York. When you get your electric bill in New York, do you see any recognizable charge linked to this bailout, or did they just bury it totally?
They buried it in the rates, and I have literally, we're in litigation on this, and I've been trying to, they say that you're supposed to be able to call up your provider, and they're supposed to give you the breakdown, and I've been trying to get it, I can't get it. And they buried it in the rates, so nobody knows that they're doing this. I mean, unless you're even I'm trying to find it, and I can't get it. So I imagine people who are hoodwinked, basically, into paying this without even, or even, there's no knowledge that they're paying this. And
it's,
right now it's for the upstate nukes. There are four nuclear power plants that are superheating Lake Ontario and dumping radiation into the waters there and the air there and affecting, you know, the livelihood of a lot of people up there. But it will affect Indian Point as well because they've already set it up. All they have to do, the other aspect of this that's so horrible is that originally when they were looking at doing this subsidy, it was equal to the amount that they were going to be giving renewables. They were evening the playing field, even though we know nuclear has gotten subsidization for years and years. So they were sort of couching it in that. What they did is they... Now renewables are only getting $1 billion over 10 years, and renewables are getting $7.6 billion over 12 years. They're getting so much more that they're literally squashing renewables in New York State,
and this
preventing
is
them from coming online.
The complicity of Andrew Cuomo.
Yes, and this was a backroom deal. This was a deal he made, his office made. I can't say he personally made it, but his office made this deal to facilitate a sale of Fitzpatrick. It's an upstate nuclear plant, of one of the oldest in the country. Joe can talk to about the age of Fitzpatrick, but it's one of the oldest plants in the country, and they did this deal to force that sale from Entergy so that Entergy would agree that they would close Indian Point only 5 years ahead of its license, the extended license term they were asking. So this whole deal was for a five-year thing.
And Susan Shapiro, what group are you with?
I'm representing, in this case, I'm representing Clearwater, Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, Nuclear Information Resource Center, NIRS, Phase Promoting Health and Sustainable Energy. There are five of them. Those were three. Goshen Green Farms, and I'm forgetting somebody.
Sorry, you'll remember in time. Joe Mangano, you're also a New Yorker.
Oh, IPSEC. I'm sorry. Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition. So you're representing five groups. You're in court suing. Who are you suing exactly? The Public Service Commission?
The Public Service Commission. And we actually had 56 petitioners originally, but the court dismissed everyone else when they tried to dismiss the whole case. So we're the only case in the country that's still standing on fighting this. Other states have actually, there have been challenges to the same kind of thing in other states, and they were dismissed before they got to be heard on the merits. We're going to be heard on the merits as to whether nuclear zero emissions.
So you have standing. The court confirmed your standing.
Yes,
to bring this suit. And what court are you in?
It's New York State Supreme Court. It's the state court.
Well, good luck with that. It sounds like Cuomo negotiated this deal kind of like Trump talked to Putin, right? Was there a translator in the room? Anyway, okay. So, Joe Mangano, you're a New York ratepayer. I want to identify you.
Actually, Harvey, I lived in New York many years. I now live in New Jersey.
Well, you're about to get slammed by New Jersey, too. But you know about this case. First, you're with the Radiation and Health Project. How do people get a hold of you?
You can look at www.radiation.org. It has our contact numbers, and it has information about our activities.
Okay, so tell us, follow up on what Susan has said about this horrible situation and the bailout, and also this insane idea that nuclear power somehow is clean and fights global warming.
Well, if you don't mind, Harvey, I'm going to start by kind of subbing for Amy Goldsmith, who couldn't make it today,
and to tell
a similar story of what has gone on in New Jersey. Susan gave you the New York version.
All right.
Now, New Jersey, I'm so glad, Harvey, you opened the show with what you call the two Democratic parties, because this is a terrific example. of what can happen.
And we have just to set the stage, we do have Cynthia Nixon, who's running pretty much as a social Democrat in the primary against Andrew Cuomo. I only wish she could change her last name, but growing up, but nonetheless, she is what she is. And I assume she's raised this issue. So let's talk about New Jersey now.
Well, New Jersey is one of those few states in which the Democrats occupy both the governor's chair and the legislature. They have a majority in the Senate and a majority in the House. Just last November, Governor Phil Murphy was elected. Chris Christie was the previous governor. He's out now. So the
Thank
Democrats
God.
Have a full, reign, which is rare these days. So one would think that would be good. And Murphy came in speaking very strongly about the need to develop clean and renewable energy. All right. And emission-free energy. So this was a good feeling. However, right after he took office in New Year's 2018, a bill was introduced in the Senate and the House. This bill was championed by a gentleman named Stephen Sweeney, who is the head of the Senate. He's the Democratic leader in the Senate. I have to give you a little clue here. Sweeney's district includes one of the two nuclear plants in New Jersey, Salem Hope Creek, which has three reactors. The other reactor in the state, I'm pleased to say, is Oyster Creek, and it's closing in September. Anyway, Sweeney is the, this is his district, and obviously he is lobbied very hard by the industry. This is Exelon again. And he put out this bill that would allow Exelon to raise the rates of electric bills by up to $300 million per year. And unlike New York, with no limit on to how many years this can be done. And by God, the bill passed the House and Senate. A few Republicans voted against it. Most Republicans voted for it. Every Democrat voted for it. A few weeks went by. It sat on the governor's desk. He was lobbied by people who opposed the bill, like us. Alec Baldwin wrote an op-ed in the Asbury Park Press, and sure enough, Phil Murphy signed the bill, just handing these huge amounts of money so that these three aging reactors could continue to run. So this is a perfect example of how we just cannot sit on our hands just because Democrats hold a governor's chair or have a majority in the legislative branch. So that's
where
that stands
now. We have three. We have a horrible, probably the worst utility in the country, First Energy, based in Akron, and they have the two reactors on the two mistakes by the lake, Perry and Davis Bessie, Davis Bessie near Toledo, Perry east of Cleveland, and then they have two more Beaver Valley reactors outside of Pittsburgh. And these things are just losing tons and tons of money, and First Energy is running them into the ground. And they also have all these coal burners, and they came up. They've been fighting in the Ohio legislature, which, to its credit, has refused to give them giant bailouts. And then they suddenly come up with this huge plan to bail out 80 coal burners and these four reactors. And their lobbyist is the one who had dinner with Trump and convinced him to talk about an emergency bailout for all these reactors. And then three Northern Ohio Democrats, Marcia Flake, I think her name is, Marcy Kaptur, and Tim Ryan, who's been talked about as a replacement for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, send this most outrageous letter saying that we have to preserve nuclear power to get this, because it's part of our nuclear weapons infrastructure. Now, this is something that the nuclear industry has been denying for 50 years.
saying that commercial nuclear power has nothing to do with nuclear weapons. And these three so-called liberal Democrats say we got to bail out all these nukes and all these coal plants because nuclear power is part of the nuclear weapons infrastructure. It's just unbelievable.
Well, finally, they admitted it, you know?
Yeah.
They've been saying it all along. They finally admitted it.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So one thing that I noticed, and Carl Grossman, who's been on the show, Carl, you didn't call in today, did you? You're not waiting there. Okay. So has pointed out is that and correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if this applies in New Jersey, but the bailout in New York taxes all New York ratepayers all the way down to Long Island.
They were
300-400 miles away from these nukes upstate New York. They get zero electricity, and yet they're paying for this bailout. Is that correct, Susan?
Every single person is in the state that's electrical user is paying for it. It's across the board. It's everything. There's no exemptions. There's no exemptions. And there's no, you know, and the numbers they're using are not proven or shown that, you know, how much it really is costing everybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, we believe what it was is they had an end goal. They had a number. They made a deal. They had to reach that deal, and then they backed in a program to meet the number. They didn't do it the other way around.
So every ratepayer, anybody who pays an electric bill in New York, is paying part of the $7.6 billion bailout for these four insane reactors upstate. Is that correct?
Yeah, based on the claim that they're not profitable anymore, and that's the whole insane thing about this whole thing. Here we have an energy system, nuclear, that is no longer profitable. As you're talking about, the Ohio plants are losing their shirts. It doesn't make money. The cost to keep these aging old nukes going is expensive. And what's happening now is they're cutting corners on safety because they don't want to spend any money on it. And there's no this bailout is exactly that. They're bailing out these reactors that said, we're going to shutter our plants because we're losing money. So now the state has stepped in and said, okay, we'll lose money for you. We're going to make our people pay for a system that is not financially viable anymore, that's dangerous, and that emits constantly. But we're being forced to pay for this. Nuclear would be shut. These four plants, or at least three of them, would have already been shut.
Harvey and Susan.
This picks up what Susan is saying.
I want to ask
understand
you that the reason that these bailouts are being given is that the nuclear industry, you know, the electric utilities are going to politicians and they are telling them that, hey, listen, nuclear reactors are emission free. They don't emit greenhouse gases. They don't emit carbon and other related climate-changing gases. So you can put the nuclear in the clean section along with wind and solar. And the Democratic politicians are buying it. It's kind of hard to believe. I mean, when you say the word nuclear, Harvey, you know, you don't think of you know, a beautiful day and people dancing and flowers and blue skies. You think of nuclear. You think of nuclear war and so on. But these Democratic politicians are accepting this lie, this terrible statement that they are emission-free. And that is really at the core of why this is going this way at this time.
Well, but that's on the surface. I mean, okay, we know that this kind of garbage has been spewed out by the industry for 60, 70 years now, really, dating back all the way to 60 years, 65, dating back to 1953 when Eisenhower announced Annus of Peace. The question I want to know is, what did Cuomo get for this? There must have been some quid pro quo for him.
What we do know is what happened in the same week that this was, the deal was basically done. That was the same week or within the next 10 days that they announced the, quote, closure of Indian Point. And I put that in quotes because if you read the contract about the closure of Indian Point, which, you know, many people believe is a 2021, that is not what the agreement says. The agreement says that if the Public Service Commission, the same guys who did this order, decides that Indian Point's needed because of its environmental attributes, which they've already decided in this order, that it's good for their environmental attributes, the historic environmental attributes are so good that they have to keep it open. And all Indian Point has to do is turn around and say, we need some more money, and then we'll be paying for them to stay open till 2425. And they already got their license till 2425. That was part of the deal, that all of the contentions against them getting relicensed were removed. And they got their license to 2425. That's the backroom. That was the backroom deal. So it's a little two-handed here.
What did Cuomo get personally? Do you think they slipped him some cash, or have a tape of him with Russian prostitutes? I mean, what do they have on him? Why would he do this?
Well, one thing we do know. We don't know what he got, but we know that historically that Obama had a great lot of support from Exelon. In his run, we don't know whether that's what Cuomo got. I can't say that at all, but we don't know. We can speculate, but we don't know. But we know Obama was supported by Exelon. We know that Rob Emanuel and what was the other guy's name?
David Axelrod.
Axelrod.
Right. They were Exelon
David
executives.
David Axelrod.
Right.
Well, Exelon came out of ComEd in Chicago. So, and Obama was definitely their guy. So I don't know how that jumps over to Cuomo, but I can't imagine he would have done this. I can't imagine he would have done this without some kind of big payback. I mean, it's just such a scam.
Well, it's interesting. Their lobbyists are bragging about that they got a 750% return on their investment. They spent $110 million on buying Fitzpatrick. They spent about $400 million on lobbying. And the lobbyist is going around trying to get more work, showing slides of money going down a toilet drain. And what a great job he did, getting, $7.6 billion off of basically a $500 million investment. And that was in Crane's Business. That's where we got that information from. It was published in Crane's Business.
What could that $7.6 billion do towards solarizing New York?
That's a very good question. We actually have an expert trying to calculate that over the next 10 years or 12 years. I believe that New York would be able, with a portion of that money, to be totally clean environmentally energy. We could have a clean energy future in that period of time with that amount of money. Over the last, from 2006 to 2016, there's been $1 billion that's been committed to renewable energy, but only half of that has been spent. And the portion that has been spent, a large part of that has been for administration. So the question is, if you actually spent that money on renewables, how quickly could we get there?
Wow. Joe, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'll make one comment, then I'll hand this off to Carla, or I think may have something. I'll tell you this, that to top the fraudulence of what this is, everybody knows that these aging nuclear power plants, sooner or later, are going to shut. Okay, at least half of them. We have 99. Right.
You say that is Oyster Creek definitely going to shut in September?
September 17th. Yes. Yeah. So it'll be 98 then.
They're not going to bail out Oyster Creek at this last minute.
No, there's no bailout for Oyster Creek. No, that's set.
Thank God. Well, thank God for small favors. So that'll bring us down to 98. I think Pilgrim is going down this year also.
And what I was gonna say was this is not just my opinion. Recently, the senior vice president of Exelon made a statement where he said that there will never be another new nuclear plant built and open in the United States. Listen to me, listen to him. So they know that in a matter of years, these are all going to close, and we're going to have to, turn our focus to other types of electricity, but They are just persisting to get the last few dollars out of these reactors at not just financial risk, but at health risk, which I'll talk about later, to the public. It's a very disturbing trend. Carl, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I would just like to talk to – this is Carl
Grossman. Okay, we're joined by the great Carl Grossman, who's been with us repeatedly and who's one of the great activists and leading experts on nuclear. So, Carl, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. With Andrew Cuomo, this is a very weird situation. But not only has he bought this hoax that nuclear power plants produce clean energy – disregarding the nuclear cycle, the nuclear chain, the enrichment, the fabrication, which is, in terms of global warming, very carbon intensive. And there's emissions from the plants themselves in terms of greenhouse gases and so forth. But not only that, now here, I'm just reading from a New York Times story. This is July 20th, 2016. Anybody can Google it. The headline is Nuclear Subsidies Are Key Part of New York's Clean Energy Plan. But you get to the middle of the story, and it's by Vivian Yee, good journalist, and there's a quote from Andrew Cuomo, "Nuclear has a role. Unless we're willing to go back to candles, which would be uncomfortable and inconvenient, we need energy generation." And he's saying this in connection with his push to have this bailout, this $7.6 billion bailout for these upstate nuclear power plants. And let me just add, not only is Cuomo, I mean, I've not heard claims like that we're going to have to sit around and use candles if there's not nuclear power for decades, when there was this big fight over the Shoreham nuclear plant, which was built on Long Island. That was one of the arguments of the Brookhaven National Laboratory, which is on Long Island, nuclear scientists, that without Shoreham, we're going to be sitting around on Long Island with candles. So Cuomo is back to using that kind of BS. Beyond right. that, let me note that Cynthia Nixon, who is challenging Cuomo in a primary, which is going to be decided in September, a battle over who's going to get the nomination to run as governor on the Democratic ticket. Now, I'm looking right at Cynthia Nixon's campaign website. You can also go to Google and see this, too, Cynthia New York. And here it is, very big letters, "Let dangerous nuclear power plants close." And then the piece goes on, "In 2017, Governor Cuomo made the controversial decision to spend over $7 billion in taxpayer money to bail out four aging nuclear power plants. Cuomo said he needed the money to meet his renewable energy goals." With nuclear, can you believe? "But that's just plain false," says Cynthia Nixon. "Nuclear energy was an experiment that failed and is neither clean nor renewable. New York used to be the center of innovation. We can leave nuclear energy in the past as part of our full transition to a 100% clean, renewable energy economy.
Okay.
Our future depends on it." Very, very strong words from Cynthia Nixon. As a result, there's going to be a choice in New York, and it's not many weeks now between Cynthia Nixon and her anti nuclear, her anti-huge bailout position, and Andrew Cuomo claiming that nuclear has a role, and unless we want to get back to using candles, which would be uncomfortable and inconvenient, we need energy generation. Andrew Cuomo either needs to be educated about nuclear power, or he needs to lose that primary and let Cynthia Nixon run for governor.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all know, of course, that the candle lobby has been funding the whole anti-nuclear movement all these years. So we do have to fess up about that. Let's switch over now. I want to talk about radiation and health, and especially on these nuclear plants. Susan Shapiro, is your suit
against this bailout. Is there a dimension to it about the health aspects of nuclear? And I know you're downwind from Indian Point, so you know a lot about it, and then we'll take it to Joe and Carl.
Well, we did include in our comments that we submitted the health impacts because it's the proof that there are emissions. The other thing that we did, which I want Joe to talk more about, the effect on health, but the other aspect of it that I just want to bring to everyone's attention is the amount of heat that we know from the discharge canals. They're releasing massive quantities of heat every single day, both into the water. They superheat the Hudson River, billions of gallons of water every year. They're superheating every body of water that any nuclear plant's on. So they're heating Lake Ontario. And with Marvin Reznikoff, a nuclear physicist, we actually calculated the amount of BTUs nuclear has already produced on the planet. And it turns out that it produced enough BTUs to melt about 20% of the Earth's ice, yet only produced 11% of the Earth's energy. So,
that's amazing.
So in terms of our issue in this case is really a lot more about climate change, because that's what they're focused on in their order. But the health impacts is proof that there are emissions that are harmful, and the cost to our lives and also health costs are totally impacted, and the cost of all this additional waste for 12 more years for four plants to operate and produce additional waste. It's a hell of a lot of waste that's a burden on the state. But Joe really can delve into the impact of the emissions on health. So I turn it over to
Joe, Joe Mangano from the Radiation Health. Thank you, Susan. Joe Mangano from the Radiation Health Project. You are the go-to guy these days on for a long time on radiation and health. What kind of health impacts will the continued operation of these four upstate reactors, these two at Indian Point and these three in New Jersey, what kind of health impacts are we going to expect from their ongoing operations?
Well, I'm so pleased you're doing this, Harvey, because as bad as these bailouts are in terms of just handing huge amounts of money to these utilities, a lot of people believe this is just an economic, a financial issue, right? And that's the way many of the stories, the media writes this up, like nuclear reactors are just another type of building. No, they are not just another type of building. All right, these are extremely dangerous producers of the most poisonous and toxic materials known to humankind. All right, what is produced in a nuclear reactor is over 100 chemicals that are radioactive. They all cause cancer, and they are exactly the same mixture of chemicals that you find when you explode an atomic bomb. All right, the same as Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all those above-ground tests in Nevada and the Soviet Union and elsewhere. This has to be made clear. This is not just a financial discussion, okay? This is the real payment, I believe, is in health. And furthermore, it's not just a hypothetical thing that we may see people be harmed. People are being harmed. People have been harmed, right? And that is what really our group is all about. It was started in the late 80s by these two gentlemen, Jay Gould and Ernest Sternglass. One was a statistician, one was a physicist, who said, you know what? Nobody's doing any studies about very basic questions like, what are the cancer rates in nuclear plants? What are the infant death rates? What are the birth defect rates? The reason, of course, is because any researcher with any sort of a pedigree, university professors, were in this kind of, and still are, in this kind of McCarthyist situation. If you want to write that nuclear reactors are the cause of cancer, you are going to be in trouble with your grants and with keeping your job. So that's where we stepped in. Okay, we're independent of government. We're independent of the industry. We don't get a dime from either of them. And we write what we believe is the truth. And we have 37 articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. We've written books and other reports as well. And we have found that in addition to meltdowns, such as Three Mile Island and Chernobyl and Fukushima, we know those are massively bad. The radiation that is produced every day and released into the air, water, and food every single day has had effects. And I'll give you a few examples, if you don't mind me rolling.
No, go ahead, please.
We've been talking about New York and New Jersey. Well, let's stay there. There are four counties in New York which sort of flank the Indian Point reactor. It's 35 miles north of New York City. There are about just under 2 million people who live in these four counties. The rate of thyroid cancer back in the late 1970s, when these two large Indian Point reactors were just opening, was 22% below the United States. And after that, as the reactors began to run and as they emitted this radiation, including iodine, which is goes right to the thyroid gland, we know that, and it kills cells and harms cells and leads to cancer. It went from 22% below until today, it is now 53% above the United States.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, there were, in those four counties, there were about 40 new cases diagnosed each year. Now it's about 500 new cases of thyroid cancer per year. Okay, that's just one. Let's go over to New Jersey, the Salem Hope Creek reactor. There's three reactors in southern New Jersey. It's actually in a rural area. Salem County has about 65,000 people. Okay, the three reactors opened in the late 70s and the early 80s. So in the mid-1980s, the county cancer death rate was 5% below the rest of New Jersey, something we'd expect in a rural county. Ever since then, the gap was closed. It equaled the state, and then it went above the state until today. It is the county in New Jersey with the highest cancer death rate, 22% above the state. Okay, we estimate that if the rate had stayed where it was years ago, 5% below, about 1,000 fewer people would have died from cancer in this small county. And we see evidence that the adjoining counties, the downwind counties, have followed the same path. Okay, these are real lives. I mean, when you talk about cancer deaths, we've all known people who have had cancer, have died of cancer. I mean, I talk in statistics a lot. Let's be clear here. Every one of these is an agony. You know, the child who suffers with leukemia and dies, and middle-aged women who develop breast cancer and die, and older people who develop a variety of cancers. We can do a whole lot better than, and we know we can, because we've also done articles on what happens when reactors shut down permanently. We looked at eight reactors that shut, and we found that within the first 2 years, the rate of cancers in children age 4 and under plummeted something like 30%. And we also found that Rancho Seco reactor, which is in Sacramento, it closed in 1989, and then 20 years afterwards, it went from above the state to the rate went from above to below the state. We estimate 4,300 fewer cases of cancer in those 20 years. So, you know, these are real people in real lives, and that should be made part of this discussion.
Amazing. Carl Grossman, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, dollars are one thing, but lives are far more important than dollars. And these are lethal machines. They're death machines, as the Radiation Public Health Project has documented over and over again. Around nuclear plants, there are cancer clusters. These machines kill. And just let me add, too, in terms of this issue of bailout, you focused today, Harvey, on the New York and New Jersey bailouts, which are in fact are spreading to other states. But in addition to this, you have the Trump administration moving ahead with a federal bailout. The claim that the Trump administration is making is that nuclear plants are needed for national security. And cited is a federal policy from the years ago in terms of the energy infrastructure as a matter of national defense, national security, having to be supported. In fact, nuclear power plants are just the opposite of something that would support national security. They're pre-deployed weapons of mass destruction. One of the planes that hit the World Trade Center had flown over Indian Point, and there was some the terrorists had been considering hitting Indian Point rather than a target in Manhattan, New York City. So nuclear plants are, in terms of national security, extraordinarily dangerous. And getting back to money, the plan, Nuclear Information and Resource Service, in a recent press conference, has calculated that if this bailout goes through, Americans all over the country will be paying $17 billion a year to support nuclear and coal, too, as part of this crazy mix. And by 2030, for nuclear alone, the bill would come to $270 billion. So,
and Carl, I bet you that doesn't even include health costs, like the cost of treating people with cancer and the cost of people dying prematurely and so on.
Yes.
Well, we should note that the nuclear beyond, industry has substantially, continually denied
lives being threatened by these bailouts on the state level, and the billions and billions of dollars we would be charged and are being charged in New York, where I live, now on a state level. Then you have the Trump administration moving ahead for a massive federal bailout on the basis that nuclear power plants are needed for national security.
We're talking with Susan Shapiro, Joe Mangano, and Carl Grossman, New York and New Jersey experts and activists, long time. And I think one of the things we have to understand here is that the nuclear industry and its supporters continue to deny any of the health impacts that Joe has so carefully researched over the years, and preceded by Ernest Sternglass and Jay Gould. I mean, most supporters of atomic energy say that there are no health impacts. I mean, we've seen from these so-called, we've seen from some people that they're claiming that no one has been harmed at Fukushima, that the death toll at Chernobyl is negligible, and that, of course, no one died at Three Mile Island. Now, I did some of the preliminary work at Three Mile Island with Dr. Sternglass, and we know that people died there. I talked to a lot of people who were in the process of dying at Three Mile Island. The Chernobyl death rate has been estimated at 1 million and more by Yablokov and the other Russian scientists who looked into it. And God help us, Joe Mangano, you being the leading expert, what do you want to say about the health impacts of Fukushima?
This lie, like, immediately was perpetrated by the Japanese officials that there are no deaths. All right, no one was harmed at Fukushima except for a couple of workers. This was the same thing that they pulled at Chernobyl as well. However, we have published several articles, not in Japan, but in the United States on the West Coast. You know, the this was a massive meltdown. It's still continuing, and of course, it just doesn't stop right at the plant or right at the coast of Japan. It came all the way across most of the globe. It hit the west coast of the United States 4 days after the meltdown in airborne emissions, and was brought down into the food chain by precipitation. And then, of course, it has gotten into the Pacific Ocean. And guess what? Guess what they're finding? They've been finding for several years now in the West Coast, in the food. The latest I read was California wine. That was just a couple of days ago. The Cabernet from California. They compared bottles that were produced before and after Fukushima, and the amount of radiation was double afterwards. And this is just the beginning, you know. And we and the studies we published, we found that the most susceptible of all humans, the very young, you know, the fetus and the infant, suffered. We found an increase in birth defects, especially what's called hypothyroidism, where the baby has an unusually low level of thyroid hormone, and which harms them both physically and developmentally. You need to add that hormone artificially. Every infant is tested for it. We found it went up to 20% right after Fukushima. So we're just getting started with Fukushima. That's for sure.
Let's we're almost to the end here. Unfortunately, we have three great guests: Susan Shapiro, Joe Mangano, and Carl Grossman. Susan, do you want to give us a quick wrap up? Tell people how they can get a hold of you and tell us how they can support this lawsuit.
Sure, thank you. We do need support. One thing I would like to ask people who are listening, if the issue is climate change and nuclear, please look at what happened. There are many different maps and charts from the 1970s on to today is when you can really see a dramatic increase in climate change. And what happened in 1970 on, between the 70s and the 80s, 400-plus nuclear plants came online. That was the biggest human change that occurred. And once again, nuclear is not the solution for climate change. And I think this campaign to call nuclear good for you and zero emissions is a push. Well, we know it's a PR push, but it's like the last throes of a dying industry trying to grab. It's a power grab. It's a money grab. And they're trying to grab as much money as possible before we all wake up and realize that this has to end. So the way you can help us is you can make either direct donations to our case through Rockland Environmental Law Group. And I'll give you a phone number. It's 845-371-2100. Or you can make donations to NEARS, and they have a site on their website where you can make a direct donation to this lawsuit. And we would really appreciate any contributions. We need to hire some experts, and this case is probably going to go on for a while. Whether we win or they win, it will probably end up being appealed.
Joe Mangano, how do people support your work and get a hold of you?
Yeah, like I said, radiation.org. And if you don't mind, Harvey, I'm just going to speak less than a minute with something upbeat. I always like to end optimistically. To think that we can't change things so that we will have clean energy is ridiculous. Look at a country like Germany. The last I saw, they are at 36% wind and solar power. In 10 years, it's going to be 50%. And in 30 years, it's going to be almost 100%. Now, when Fukushima happened 7 years ago, they had 17 nuclear reactors. The government that same year came out and said, we're going to shut these by 2022. Guess what? Right now, 10 of the 17 are shut permanently, and the other 7 are going to be shut in the next 4 years, just like they said. And Germany is a large country. It's got a large population. They went out and did it. There's no reason the U.S. can't do the same.
Well, but you know, Joe, as Fox News explained, Germany can do this because they have so much more sunlight than we do in the United States.
Yeah, I know.
Carl Grossman, real quick, how can we people get a hold of you and support your work?
Well, I would just say, Harvey, quoting Helen Caldicott at a demonstration I covered decades ago at the Seabrook nuclear plant site in New Hampshire, and Helen said, we're in the hands of lunatics at the crossroads of time. And that was true then, and it's still true now. And as is being mentioned, it doesn't seem to matter too much, unfortunately, who the politician is, other than the Cynthia Nixons and the few good politicians, the few good officials, we are in the hands of lunatics. So it's so important that people support grassroots organizations like NEARS and Beyond Nuclear and the Radiation and Public Health Project and so forth, because I think ultimately this battle will be won, but we're going to need people power. We're going to need people power at the grassroots, which is always is what's caused the change, not top-down, but bottom-up people power.
Yeah, and the great news is, and truly the astounding development in energy has been the amazing technological leap in photovoltaic cells and in wind. We'll see you, Greg. Thank you, guys. You're terrific. Thank you, crew in New York. We'll see you next week at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Get out there and go solar. Thank you all.
Garden of Eden. Don't you know we're gonna